Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Hey everybody, welcome to the CLA Virtual Summit Focus. My name is Dr. Matthew Rao, and I'll be sharing a talk with you today titled Upbeat, Choose Your Focus, Change Your Life. And if I'm just meeting you for the first time today, hey, it's great to meet you. I am the founder, president, and CEO of Upbeat Global and the Upbeat Leadership Academy. I'm also the author of Upbeat, Mindset, Mindfulness, and Leadership in Music Education and Beyond. I'm a university music professor and conductor. And I'm going to be sharing some principles of leadership today that will really help harness our focus and take us to that next level. Like many of us here today, we come from lots of different backgrounds, and the entrepreneur spirit has been bubbling up inside of us. And often we learn from our past experiences to create what we do in the present. And I want to share with you, I am a former middle school and high school band director from Loveland, Colorado. And it was there where I dove deep into learning about leadership, experiencing leadership, and where I develop the principles that I'm going to share with you today. Now, one of the things I get to do is I get to serve high-performing leaders, educators, and entrepreneurs who have, you know, a serious passion and purpose, but they've been feeling overwhelmed and exhausted. And I help them reignite their spark and get back to that place where they can achieve their highest level of impact and live in purpose. When you think of the word upbeat, what are some words that come to your mind? Well, you might be thinking, maybe you have an upbeat person in your life. Go ahead and close your eyes for a moment and picture that person, your upbeat person. You might see their face right now. Maybe they're smiling back at you. And think about the qualities that they have. Maybe they're uplifting, positive, joyful, cheerful. Maybe they're that listener, that good listener that's there for you on those hard moments that we all face in life. So that might be one meaning that we think of when we think of the word upbeat. But as a musician, when I hear the word upbeat, I also think about upbeat tempo, the groove, right? I also think about tapping our foot to the music, the boom, cha, boom, cha, boom, cha, right? When our foot goes down, that's the downbeat. When our foot goes up, that's the upbeat. But also as a conductor, the upbeat is one of the most important things we ever get to do as a conductor. And that is when we start the music. Imagine that you are a conductor and you're in front of an ensemble, maybe a band, choir, or orchestra, and you walk out onto the stage and the musicians are facing you and there's the audience in the background and you step onto that podium. There's that magical silence as the musicians are focused on you, the audience is focused on you. You hear the music in your head before it starts and you give the upbeat, which is the prep beat. It looks like this. You breathe in, you raise your hands up, and then you breathe out, and you lower your hands. And when your hands lower to where it started, that's when the music is created. Isn't that amazing? You see, music's always created twice. First in our mind, or in our inner ear, we hear it first, and then it's created by the musicians. In the upbeat, there's just silence, though, isn't there? Just an inhale. Just that inspiration and then exhalation is when the music's created. And what's so incredible is as we change the quality of the upbeat, we can change the sound of the music. We can give a fast upbeat. We can give a slow upbeat. We can give an upbeat that has a strong attack, boom, or a gentle entrance. Music enters from a canvas of silence.
See, the musician visualizes in their mind what they want to create first, and then they create it. I started thinking, what if the upbeat in music wasn't the only upbeat in life? What if there were upbeats throughout our entire life? And I soon came to realize that the upbeat is the preparation for any event. So let's talk about sports for a moment. Okay, in football, the throw is the upbeat, the catch is the downbeat. In basketball, the shot is the upbeat, the swish is the downbeat. In track and field relays, the handoff of the baton is the upbeat. Ooh, the catch is the downbeat. The way the band, choir, or orchestra takes the stage is the upbeat to their performance. And now to enter our world of business leaders and entrepreneurs, the attitude we bring to our workplace, the attitude we bring to making that call, the attitude we bring to writing that social post, that attitude we bring to creating our next project of impact, that's our upbeat. And the first thoughts we have in the morning upon waking are our upbeats to the day. You see, the first thoughts and attitude with which we greet the day determines the trajectory of the rest of our day. To bring it all together, our thoughts are the upbeats to our actions. Our attitude is our upbeat to any situation. And we choose our thoughts and our attitude. We choose our upbeat. What does it mean to live with an upbeat mindset? Well, first of all, I just want to say, having an upbeat mindset doesn't mean we just put on rose-colored glasses and pretend that the world's perfect and we ignore the challenges in life. Not at all. Being upbeat is about being authentic and real and recognizing that life can be hard. Think of the life of an entrepreneur, what we go through every single day. Every day we're creating our own day, right? We get to choose the day we create. And sometimes it can be overwhelming and stressful. There's so many hats we wear and so many projects we're working on. Where to begin? Where to start? And so being upbeat is recognizing life is challenging, but how do we move forward in a positive direction to live a life in purpose and impact? Have you ever heard something that just completely blew your mind? Maybe you read a research study, you're like, no way, that's crazy. I'm going to share one that completely blew my mind. I learned that every second the human brain takes in 11 million bits of information, but we're only conscious of 40 bits. Well, let me say that one more time. Every second the human brain takes in 11 million bits of information, but we're only conscious of 40 bits. When I first learned that, I thought, wow, what if we could choose our focus? What if we could choose our 40 bits? Would that make a difference? And I soon realized, wow, yes, we can choose. And when we choose what we focus on, it changes our perspective, doesn't it? When we're intentional about the day we want to create, we're able to move forward with impact, passion, and purpose. When you choose your upbeat, when you choose your focus, you live with intention rather than feeling like a pinball bouncing around in a pinball game. You know what I mean? Reacting to whatever life throws your way. What we focus on grows. What we focus on expands. Alexander Graham Bell said, concentrate all your thoughts upon the work at hand. The sun's rays do not burn until brought to a focus. You see, our focus leads to energy, which leads to impact. Where your heart goes, energy flows. So true. And as a conductor, that's really meaningful to me. If I want to put the energy and the focus on the cello section, I turn to them. If I want to put the focus on the trumpets, I turn to them. If I'm conducting a choir and I want to put the focus on the sopranos, I turn my heart towards them. In conversation with people, where our heart goes, energy flows. But it is also true that where your heart goes, your focus flows. Here's an upbeatism I want to share with you. Rather than focus on what is wrong, focus on what you want to create. See, there's nothing wrong with focusing on what is wrong. That helps us decide, you know, how can we make the world a better place? There's also nothing wrong with focusing on what is right, because that's a great mental mindset shift. If we always are bogged down on what's wrong, kind of takes us down that negative rabbit hole. Focusing on what's getting better, what's right, can lift us up, and we start to see the progress and improvement, which matters. But when you focus on what you want to create, it elevates our mind into its highest level. We start to see solutions. We start to see a broader horizon of what's possible. I want you to imagine what you would create, what you want to create, if there were no limits. I want you to shatter your limiting beliefs. Often, we're the greatest limiter on what we achieve. Have you ever thought about, I want to do this? And it's followed by that crushing word, but we can't do, I can't do it. No, I can't. What will people say? What will people think? So we can often be the greatest limiter. But what if there were no buts? What if there were no buts? Rather than focus on what is wrong, focus on what you want to create. I challenge you to get into that dream state, to get into that level when you were younger and maybe in kindergarten when your teacher said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And there were no limits. You could do anything. Remember, creation is the highest level. You see, when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. And boy, did I have a moment when everything changed for me because of how I changed my focus. You know, bogged down in all the to-dos, all the have-to-dos in life can often lead to burnout, stress, and overwhelm. When everything feels urgent, right? And we're trying to multitask and meet the needs of so many people, it can quickly become overwhelming, right? This is kind of how I felt. That is how I felt. But one day, things changed for me. Have you ever noticed that some of the greatest lessons we learn in life come from the hardest times and the hardest struggles? It was the same way with me. On September 12th, 2020. I woke up that morning in our home in Wisconsin, looking forward to going for a swim. We have a swimming pool, and because we live in Wisconsin, it's not open year round. We open it up in May and close at the end of September because of the weather shifts. So on September 12, 2020, I really wanted to go for a swim. I try to make that a daily habit when I'm home. But when I got up, it was cold, dark, dreary, windy. And to top it off, it was raining buckets. It was a deluge. And so when I looked outside, I thought, shoot, I'm not going to be able to go for a swim. So I made some tea or coffee. And then I did my morning meditation, followed by journaling. And I got out a notebook. And because of September 12, 2020, I thought about the day before, which is September 11. But I didn't journal about the day before. It brought me back in time to 9/11. To September 11, 2001. On that day, I was a middle school band director in Loveland, Colorado. I was in my fifth year of teaching, and I had no idea that our lives were about to change forever when I arrived at school. Because of being told by my principal about something horrific happening in New York, I went to my band room and turned on the television, and there before my very eyes, I saw one of the most traumatic, horrifying visions I'd ever seen. 10 minutes later, my sixth grade band students started coming to the classroom, 11-year-old students. And we didn't get our instruments out that day. We just sat in silence and watched the TV. And at the end of that first class, we saw the first tower crumble in flames. And we had no words. And then the next sixth grade band class came in, and again, we just sat there in silence watching the news. And at the end of that class, we saw the second tower crumble in flames. And we had no words. Then I had a planned period lunch followed by 2 7th grade bands and 2 8th grade bands. The 7th graders started to come into the classroom, and there was one student. She saw the TV was on, and she said, "Can we turn the TV off? We've been watching the news in every class today, and it's just so hard. Can we get our instruments out? Can we play today?" And I said, "You know what? That's a great idea." So I turned the TV off. We got our instruments out. We started warming up, and we got out our band method book. And it turns out that the beginning of this band method book, number 6 in the book, was the first piece to teach the 3/4 time signature, but it was also the first piece where we got to share the melody to America. It simply sounded like this. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. We played America over and over and over and again. And then the 8th graders came in, and we warmed up our instruments, and we got out our music folders. It turned out they had an arrangement of a piece in their folder that was so appropriate for that day, so meaningful. You see, it was an arrangement of Amazing Grace. And we played Amazing Grace over and over and over again. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. We played Amazing Grace over and over and over again. And on that day, my students and I came to understand the true superpower of music in a way that none of us had ever experienced before. And now I truly understood what is meant when it said, when words fail, music speaks. Because on that day, there were no words, but we had music. And as I was journaling in my notebook about that day, I started making a to-do list for the day, as we often do to keep our lives in balance, right? And so often those to-do lists simply feels like a checklist, right? Just a survival list, a series of have to do's. I have to, I have to. But something in my mind switched that morning. Being in the midst of the global pandemic and reflecting on 9/11, I added one word to my to-do list, and that word was get. A simple three-letter word that ended up changing my life. And now my to-do list read something like this: I get to email Sarah. I get to call Mark. I get to prepare to teach my classes. I get to study my music. And then I wrote, I get to dance in the rain, and I get to go for a swim. And believe it or not, even though it was freezing cold, it was about 40 degrees outside, I put on my swim shorts, went outside in the rain, and did a brief little jig at the lip of the pool. And I dove into the pool. As I was swimming in the pool, I was thinking about all that I get to do. I get to have this breath. I get to have this life. I get to inspire others. And I started thinking about the power of get. And as I was thinking about power of get, I thought about another powerful three-letter word, and that word was yet. And I remember Carol Dweck's work in the area of growth mindset and her teachings that if somebody says, "I can't do it," we respond with hope. No, you can't do it yet. You see, yet is about hope. Yet is about the future. But why was I so jazzed about get? Well, get is about the present. Get is about the present moment now, which is the only moment that is ever guaranteed. And I decided if I could live my life in the spirit of get moving forward, how that would change everything. So I got out of the pool. I was so excited, dripping wet. I went inside and I thought, what if I could add meaning to each of those three letters, which is what I did. You see, G is for gratitude. I started thinking, how many times have I felt appreciation for somebody? Maybe you can think about that too. How many times have you thought about, you felt appreciation for somebody, but you kept it to yourself? I decided I'm not going to do that anymore. When I feel appreciation, I'm going to share it openly. And E is for enthusiasm, to live life all in, to be full, to live full out, right? And as I was writing my book, Upbeat, I researched the meaning of the word enthusiasm, and it led to even deeper meaning for me. You see, there's three parts to that word. Thust, right in the middle, comes from the Greeks. The origin of the word is from the Greeks. Thust means God. Eiasm means essence. And en means within. You see, get enthusiasm translates to the essence of God within us. How would you live your life if you knew that? And T is for treasure. To treasure the people in our lives, to treasure the present moment and treat it like the gift it is, but to remember what I think is possibly the most lost or hidden treasure. And when we think of a lost or hidden treasure, we often think like a chest of gold, maybe hidden at the bottom of the sea, but that's not the type of treasure I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the lost or hidden treasure that we often forget because we're givers. We give, 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 give. And sometimes we forget the most important treasure is the treasure that lies within you. You see, each one of us has a golden, brilliant light that's meant to shine brightly. We're meant to shine our light brightly, and that's our purpose. And when we shine our light brightly, we shine the spotlight on others and empower them to shine their light brightly. You see, there's so many forces in this world that want to dim your light, right? And bring you back down. Like you want to aspire and be triumphant, and people want to pull you back down. Don't let them. You were meant to shine your light brightly in this world. When you decide to live a get life, you realize that you don't need to live in that spirit of have to's anymore. In fact, let's try an experiment. Think about something that you have to do today. Okay, let's try it. I have to do the dishes. Just kind of say that and see how it feels in your body. Or I have to make a call. I have to make a social media post. Now try saying those same things and notice the change in feeling in your energy. I get to do the dishes. I have dishes. I get to make that call. I'm building my business. I get to make a social media post. I'm going to make a difference with that post and impact. You see how it feels different? And it's just a simple change from a four-letter word to a three-letter word, moving from have to get to. It has completely changed how I think about my life. And the amazing thing is it's created a movement, a global movement, where folks have decided to change their mindset and how they live. You move from overwhelmed to energized, stressed to in your purpose, and from obligation to opportunity. You get to reclaim your spark, elevate your mindset, and make a lasting positive impact in your work, your relationships, and your life. When you choose your focus and how you look at things, you choose your upbeat. And then you realize just how fortunate you are to get to make an impact, to live in your purpose, to pursue your passion. When you live an upbeat life, when you remember that our thoughts are the upbeats to our actions, our attitude is our upbeat to any situation, we choose our thoughts and our attitude, we choose our upbeat. You end up not only changing your life, but you end up changing the world. Thanks so much, folks. It has been a real honor to get to share these ideas and principles to hopefully add value to your life. I'd love to connect. My email is Matthew, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, at upbeatglobal.com. And you can reach me at all socials as well. And my website is upbeatglobal.com. And I'm excited to continue the conversation. Thank you to Jose Escobar and CLA and the entire team that has made today possible. And let's just go on and continue to remember that the work you do matters, that you have a light inside to burn brightly and to share that with the world. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.